And now to the end of Matthew's Gospel 28 at verse 18, hear God's word. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's part of the reading from God's holy word. I'll invite you to turn back in the scriptures to our main passage is Matthew 28 at verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. And today as we think about Jesus' mission for every church member and every church, we'll have prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the revelation of who you are. And this is way beyond our understanding. Lord, help us to think your thoughts after you as you've put them before us today in the Holy Scriptures. And as your church has borne witness through the centuries and millennia, we thank you, God, that you call us to be faithful in our time. Help us to know the basics of the Christian faith, and help us to respond to the basics that our life would show the Savior Jesus as the light of the world. And we just ask that he would be lifted up now, that the preaching would be faithful, and that your spirit would come to change us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we look at the passage before us today, we see a passage that's very familiar, I think. To me, it's extremely tied into the work of missionaries. In our church, we would have Mission Fest Sunday. If I remember correctly, it usually took place in the fall. And I think this church at one point had a Mission Fest tradition too when I first came here, or else it was just ending. And so during that time, on that particular Sunday, our church at home would have at least one set of missionaries, maybe two, and we would spend the whole day at church. We would have the morning service and then followed by a meal, and sometimes the missionary would have a slide presentation, or sometimes the missionary would have a sermon. But then we'd also be back in the evening. And one of those times of preaching was sure to be focused on Matthew 28, 18 to 20, our text today, which kind of got me thinking that it was primarily a text for foreign missions. But it's more than that. It is really for all of us. You know, if we're Christians, we're actually a disciple. The word Christian doesn't show up very much in the Bible. It's only a few times that the word Christian is used. But the first term that was there instead of Christian was the word disciple. And that is a more descriptive term, and it's one that really needs to describe us. So a disciple learns from Jesus. We sit at the feet of Jesus. We want to be more like him. And he tells his disciples, and therefore us, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." This is at the end of the ministry and end of the Gospel of Matthew. This is what we're to do. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." So as we look at that and we get our orders, it's important that we understand that all authority is given to Christ. Now this was announced already in Psalm 2, where the psalmist David was writing prophetically about Jesus, that he would be given the nations for his inheritance. And it comes to pass here in Matthew 28, where Jesus is referencing his exalted state. Now, when we study, we've gone through the season of Lent and Palm Sunday and the cross and so forth, and we remember the humiliation of Christ as he rode into town on the donkey, and he was, as he was crucified and on the roadway, and people mocked him, and he was crucified either naked or practically naked, as was a practice in the day, and then put in the tomb, all this picture of humiliation. This is not where he's at. He is, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And that's where we need to be. We don't think of him as he was in his earthly life. We think of him as he is exalted at the right hand of God in heaven. And that's present. That other was past. But this, his extreme exaltation, is in the presence. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In other words, total respect given to him and to his authority. And that needs to be practiced in our life. A total respect to the Lord. And that will be a witness, because people don't see that very often. Tim Keller, who recently died here a couple weeks ago, he was one of the most well-known present-day theologians in our denomination, and I believe his passing was even announced on Fox News. He was a pastor in New York City. He said there's something, when we're told what to do, there's something within us that snarls back, and that nobody will tell me what to do. It comes from our sin nature. We want to be the boss. We think the world's all about us. We think our life's all about us. And that's wrong. It's about Christ. He's on the throne, and he's lifted up. And if you've never done it, you need to say, you need to pray. And honestly tell God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. You're the king. Rather than take the position, no, I'm not. I'm going to do what I want to do. We need to have respect for Christ. And that'll trickle down in all relationships that we have. People will see that respect for others as well. People that are in authority over us, and people that are equal to us, and even people that are under us will have a proper honoring. And that respect for Christ is so important. We have to begin there. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's what Jesus said. And we need to totally believe it and totally act on it as an article of faith. And that authority is all-inclusive. It means spiritual authority, since he bought us with his blood. We need to acknowledge the fact that Jesus is king and say, yes, sir. And that's hardly enough. We have to acknowledge that he is on the throne of heaven. It includes earthly authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And there are Christians in some countries where the civil authorities can require something that Jesus, or forbid something that Jesus requires. Well, then who do you obey? You obey the Lord. You obey Jesus, who's been given all authority. And so that refers to earthly authority too. He's of higher importance than any president, any dictator, any tyrant that any country can come up with. And his authority is over all people. And that includes not yet believers. It includes those who will never believe, that are right now shaking their fist at God and bringing forth all sorts of demonic ideas. And it especially is about believers. It's especially to be acknowledged by believers. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, that's going to require faith because it may not be visible to the eye. And you have to realize that Satan is going to try to trip you up. One of the great books in the history of the church has been Pilgrim's Progress, and we've gone through the book on Sunday nights in decades past. We've worked through it in with video and so forth. The gist of the book is that Satan is going to try to bring you down, and he's going to use every means, and they won't all be fair either. In fact, a lot of them will be unfair, but he's going to try to bring you down. And he's going to take everything good in your life and try to make it bad. Same goes with the church. And he's not going to leave you alone. We're to love our families. And if I love my family, Satan is going to try to get me to turn my family into an idol. If I love my farm, if God's called me to be a farmer, and I want to be the best farmer I can, if that's what my calling is, Satan's going to want me to turn my farm into an idol so it can take the place of God. That's how he works. Take what's good and turn it into something evil. And for the Christian church, for the Christian people, it's going to take faith to acknowledge that God has the greatest, highest place in our life. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And what we need to see here is that Jesus is empowering us for the task that he's called us to do, to go and make disciples of all nations. That is our mission here that we've been given, every last one of us. And so, yeah, that's going to be foreign missions across the oceans. Absolutely. Because here in the Bible, we have this picture of Jesus gathering people from all sorts of places, the disciples going to places never heard about Christ. We have to do that. And sometimes people say, well, why do we have to support missionaries in foreign countries? We have to support stuff at home. Well, yeah, true, both. But we have to be sending missionaries to other countries and also across the street. And that might be where you come in. To go across the street, to go to people that you know in this culture, in this society, in our town or region that need Christ, that desperately need Christ. And our culture today is so messed up. And why is that? Well, because we've turned away from God. We think in the church sometimes we don't have to do anything. You know, it's going to be okay. But we see the work of the devil very much on the offensive. Here in our passage, the church is to be on offensive. Therefore, go and make disciples. The 12 disciples at this time would have looked at the world. It would have been impossible. In fact, it took 300 years the way it was. But who would have imagined the success that they had? Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "You're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." I was here reading about the general Patton the other day, and Patton had a statement where he didn't like to dig in and hold ground. He wanted to attack. He wanted to go on the offense. And that's where, really, about what we have here with Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples. Now, in order to make a disciple, you need to be a disciple first. You need to be a disciple to make a disciple. That means you have to learn, you have to grow, and that's going to happen all your life. No matter how deeply you study the scriptures, God's going to continue to shape you. Well, here's what a disciple is like. That's a person who believes what Jesus says. And you give them the honor of saying, realizing that he knows, and that he knows more than you do. And because of that, you appropriate what he says, and you live out what Jesus teaches you. That's what a disciple is, a person who believes what Jesus says and lives in the way that Jesus taught. That's a disciple. Jesus, when he gives a Sermon on the Mount, he said, "The foolish man hears my word, doesn't put it into practice, like a man who builds his life on the sand, builds his house on the sand. The wise builder takes my words and builds his life on the rock, and then the storms come and crash against the house, but that person's life stands because it's on a foundation. It's on the gospel." And we do this work of making disciples depending on God, because only God can change a human heart. And if I didn't believe that, if I didn't have faith for that, if I didn't think that, I mean, God has changed people. Totally amazing. But only he can do it. And so we look to him, we pray to him to make that happen. Go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So here's another part of the command, baptism. And it's God's sign of being in a covenant relationship with God. Now we're in a relationship. We've been brought into this covenant. And I think of a plane ride to Israel in 1994. A nice couple sitting by me, and they were Christians. They were talking about their small little denomination. I'm not trying to make fun of it, just I'd never heard of it before. And they were talking about it, and I just asked what the distinctives were of their church. And the man said, "Well, we don't practice baptism because it's not necessary." And baptism isn't necessary in the sense that the thief on the cross probably wasn't baptized and went to heaven. But Jesus commanded us to do that. And I said to the man, I said, "Well, what do you do with the fact that Jesus commands us to baptize?" Pretty quiet. Didn't have the answer. "Well, he's the Lord. Here's why we do it. Here's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." It's wise, because here's our mission as a church. And the Christian worldview is that we know God through revelation. He reveals himself. We wouldn't know it. We wouldn't know that he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit unless, I mean, his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, his ways and our ways. We're not going to know it until we're receiving the scriptures. We have to be faithful to the scriptures, faithful to what God says, and not come up with our own ideas. And we need to respect and uphold the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. And when you don't do that, and you don't, you know, have the view, well, Jesus, you know, he was a guy, and he was born in the normal way, and at some point in time, he realized that God called him to be the Messiah and so forth, and he's no more divine than my grandma. Well, yeah, there are churches that have adopted that in the past century and have come to nothing. And we have also, in the past decades, mainline feminist ideas where the masculine language for the triune God was attacked. And I was recently hearing of a pastor who was having to leave a denomination that's splitting up. And he said, you know, I went to an exam for a pastor coming in, and the group rejected him because he wouldn't use a gender-neutral language to speak about God rather than the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Well, we have to use the language that the Bible teaches us. And when we wonder what we are to believe about the Trinity, we go to the creeds and the catechisms to help us understand. The creeds are there to show us how the church has grappled with this through the centuries. Nicaea, the Athanasian Creed. You can go to Heidelberg Catechism 25, the Westminster Shorter Catechism question 6, to see what the people before us, how they understood the teaching of the Trinity. And Jesus said, Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so we're to bring people into the Christian fellowship, right? Converts are to be brought in and to be nurtured and built up into the Christian faith. But in this process, we are to be teaching them to obey all the commands of Christ. Now, when the Apostle Paul gave a review of his ministry at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, and he was talking to the elders, and he said, you know about my life, how I ministered in the church, and how I didn't hold back anything that was useful to you. I taught you the whole counsel of God. And as you read through the scriptures, you see that God has given us many instructions for how to live our life. Yes, the gospel is, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's where you start. But then you go on and you realize that God is teaching us a whole way of life along with that. And so we can anticipate a lifetime of learning. The idea of a disciple here, to make a learner, make someone else learn. That's why we have a vacation Bible school. And even that, you know, it's the ongoing ministry of the church. We need to teach the kids. We need to teach the adults. We need to teach everybody. And that teaching has an ethical dimension that requires obedience, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, that's the mission. And in our world today, people are not going to, across the board, stand up and cheer. In fact, there's going to be great hostility to the gospel. And there is hostility today. And you can see that on the television. As you see all the ways in which the rebellion against the Creator is being promoted. Well, what do you do as a Christian? Well, number one, you don't support any of that. You don't give money for it. You don't do business with businesses that are about that. If they want to be the instruments of bringing a message that's against the gospel, you stand with God's people. And we have this assurance as we want to identify with Christ. And in the past, people have been way too passive and they don't hardly want to speak up. But you have to speak up unless you want to have your culture, your next generation overwhelmed with these ideas that today are so much in rebellion against God. We have this assurance that Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. When we start the Advent season, that's one of the heartwarming promises when our Lord comes into the world, going to be born of a virgin, and Joseph is told about it, and the gospel writer said this fulfills the prophecy in Isaiah, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, and then the writer translates so the reader understands the Hebrew, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that is what Christmas is about. But this is also the way the Gospel of Matthew ends. And surely I am with you always. So it doesn't stop there at Advent. It's ongoing. And when we go do the work of the church, if we're dependent on God, if we're working because of our faith and desiring to obey him, and follow through with that mission he's put before us, then we have that promise that he is with us always to the end. And Jesus is gathering his people, then building his church. You're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Well, that's going on. And God's people must not be ashamed of the gospel, must not be ashamed of Christ, but faithfully teach all his commands. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us a clear, concise mission that is well known, and help us to realize that it's a mission for our lives too, that we would not live for ourselves, but that we would live for our Lord, and that our life would be about him. We pray in your name. Amen.